Book of James in chapter 4 this morning. Book of James in chapter 4. Have you ever met someone? I'm sure that you have. But I'm talking about meeting someone who, no matter what situation you're facing in life, they know exactly what you ought to be doing. You ever met anybody like that? Boy, they're very quick to tell you. Whatever the situation you're facing in life, they tell you what you ought to be thinking, how you ought to be acting, how you ought to be feeling. You need to do this, need to do this. Man, they got it all lined out. They got it all figured out, you know. In fact, almost to the point you don't even need to pray about it. Just ask them. They'll tell you, you know. Just ask them. Truth of the matter is, people like that would love nothing more than to basically just control every aspect of your life. They would like to take control of your life, and they want to be in charge of all of your thoughts and all of your actions. And if you should perchance dare to disagree with their thoughts, or disagree with what they have to say, then they will immediately begin to say, well, you just are not right with God, and you're probably not even saved if you don't agree with what I'm telling you, you see. Well, you remember last time we saw in our study together how to stop all wars. Remember that? We saw how to stop all wars. We saw that in order to stop the wars and the fightings that were going on among these Christians to whom James is writing, by the way, same thing applies for us as well. But the way to stop the wars, the way to stop the fightings, you remember there were three very practical things that James showed us that we need to do. Number one, we need to surrender our will to God's will. And then number two, we need to make an honest confession of our own sin. And then number three, we need to allow God to be the Lord and Master of our life. And when we begin to do those three things, then the result of that is, James said, the result is that He shall lift you up. In other words, when we come to the place where that instead of bickering and fighting with one another, we are fully surrendering ourselves to the will of God and seeking to do what He would have us to do, the result of that is that God will then raise us up into a place of leadership within the church, or if not a place of leadership, just a place where we begin to have a positive influence in the lives of other people. But the sad thing is that many times when God lifts people up, and when God puts them in a place of leadership, or begins to give them a place of influence in the lives of others, the sad thing is that many times pride begins to set in. Pride begins to set in, and we become just like the Pharisees of Jesus' day. We become just like those Pharisees. And that's exactly what was happening here to this group of people to whom James is writing. That's exactly the thing that was going on. And as a result of that, they were actually beginning to speak evil of one another. And they were also beginning to judge one another. And as we consider the text that we're going to be looking at this morning, the danger of playing God in the lives of other people. As we look at the text together this morning, three things I want us to notice together. And so number one, let's begin by noticing what the text doesn't teach. This is the negative side. This is what it does not teach, okay? Let's read it together. Beginning in verse number, James chapter 4, verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. but a judge. Now, there are many people who have the idea, and I'm sure you have heard this before, many people have the idea that if you correct them, if you say, hey, you know what you're doing is really not right, you ought not to be thinking that, ought not be doing that, ought not be living like that, and you begin to try to correct them, immediately they're going to say, you ought not to judge. You ever heard anybody say that? Boy, I've heard it about a zillion times. Zillion, that's a lot. I hear it a lot. Oh, don't judge me. Don't judge me. And so the idea that many people have is that as believers, we should never judge anybody. But I got news for you this morning. That's not what this text is teaching. That's not what this text is teaching. I want you to notice a couple of things. First of all, the command. I want you to notice the command that is given. Several scriptures we're going to be looking at here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. But he that is spiritual doeth what? Judgeth all things. So for those who tell you that as a Christian you cannot judge, what they're saying is you should not be spiritual. Because the Bible says, if you are spiritual, you will judge all things. Isn't that what it says? He that is spiritual judgeth all things. Another scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. In other words, you speak against what they are doing. Question, can you do that without judging? No, you cannot. The only way you can reprove the unfruitful works of darkness is by judging what kind of works they are doing. Are they unfruitful works or are they godly works? So the only way we can obey this command that God has given to us is if we judge. If we judge. Look at another one. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. That simply means hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let it be without dissimulation. Now notice it. Here's the command. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Question, can we do this without judging? No. Because we have to judge, first of all, what is good. And then we have to judge what is evil, right? And that's how we're able to abhor the one and cleave to the other. We must judge. We must judge. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Prove all things. The word prove there simply means to test. To try. And he says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Again, we can't do this unless we judge. We have to judge and determine that something is good so that we then know that's what we need to hold fast, right? We need to test it. We need to judge it in order that we might obey the command that is given. Here's another command, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. It says, now we command you, brethren. We command you, notice that? It's a command. We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. So here we find there's a command that is given to separate from a brother in Christ. That's what it's talking about, right? We are to separate from a brother in Christ who is not walking according to the Word of God. But wait a minute. How can we do that if we do not judge? Do you see where I'm going here? See where I'm going? Let me give you another one. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. That's the same word that we saw translated prove before. It simply means to test it. It means to judge it, to try it. He says, try the spirits. Try the spirits, whether they are God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. The only way we can judge, the only way we can know whether a person is a true prophet of God or whether he is a false prophet who is teaching a lie, the only way we can know that is if we judge. We have to judge. It's impossible to obey any of these commands that we have just looked at together without judging. And so if James is teaching us that we should never judge anybody, then he is canceling out a lot of commandments that are found in the Scripture. He is contradicting a lot of the things that we are absolutely commanded to do. And of course we know that is not the case. That is not the case. So I want you to notice the command. We are commanded to judge. But then I want you to notice this. This brings us to the next point, and that is the method. How do we judge? How do we judge? John chapter 7 and verse number 24, Jesus gives us the answer. He says, judge not according to appearance. In other words, we do not judge by what looks right to us. We do not judge by what feels right to us. In other words, we do not judge by our own personal preferences. Everybody has preferences. I think everybody except women ought to have a mustache. Doesn't look very nice on a woman, okay? But I think everybody, that's my preference. See? You know what I'm talking about. We don't judge by appearance, by preference. He says, don't judge that way, but judge. Here's how we judge. Judge righteous judgment. Now that creates a problem, doesn't it? That creates a problem simply because of the fact the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 verse 10 that none of us are righteous. No, not one. None of us are righteous, no, not one. So how can we who are unrighteous, how can we judge righteous judgment as Jesus has commanded us to do? How can we judge righteous judgment? Well, the answer to that's found actually back in the Old Testament. Go back to the book of Isaiah in chapter 8, verse number 20. The Bible says, to the law and to the testimony. Law, testimony. Both of those two things, what it's talking about there is the Word of God, right? So it's talking about the Word of God. It says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. In other words, the thing that the prophet is declaring here is simply this, that the way we judge what is right and what is wrong is according to the Word of God. We judge righteous judgment that way. We judge righteous judgment when we judge what men are doing, when we judge what men are saying, when we judge what a church is teaching. We judge righteous judgment when we take those things and we compare it to what did God say. And if what they say is different from what God says, then the Bible says there's no light in them. They're darkness. They're darkness. Those who say that we should not judge have no biblical ground upon which to stand. Those who say that as Christians it's a sin for us to judge. There's no biblical evidence to support such an idea. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. What about what Jesus said over there? Remember what Jesus said in that sermon he preached? I think it's called the Sermon on the Mount. Well, yeah, you're right. It is the Sermon on the Mount. And since you brought it up, let's look at it, okay? Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 to 5. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? In other words, your brother's got a little speck in his eye, and you got a telephone pole in yours, okay? Basically, that's the idea. Verse number 4. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite! First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And so people will take this and they'll say, well, look at there. Even the Lord Jesus, he said, don't judge. Don't judge. But well, now wait just a minute. Wait just a minute. Let's take the scripture in its context. Let's take it in its context. And in order to do that, we have to remember, first of all, to whom is Jesus speaking? Who's he talking to when he makes these statements that we have read together? And when we consider the context, we realize that the Lord Jesus is not rebuking those who want to judge right and wrong. He's not rebuking those who want to know who is teaching the truth and who is teaching false doctrine. He's not rebuking those who desire to have discernment, using the Word of God as their standard. Rather, he is warning his disciples that they should not be like the Pharisees. That's what he's warning of. He's warning his disciples that they should not be like those men who the prophet Isaiah defined them. He defined them very clearly in Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 5 when he talked about those which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose and a fire that burneth all the day long. In other words, God said these people who are so full of their self-righteousness, they are so full of their own holiness, that they feel like they are somehow superior to everybody else. God says that these people are like a smoke in my nose. Yeah, have you ever been to a barbecue? And you know they always say smoke follows beauty. I know that's not true, because when our National Day barbecue, I saw smoke following Brother Luke all over the place. And so that's not true. Smoke doesn't follow beauty. But you get smoke, and what happens? It makes your eyes water, makes your nose run, makes you, and in other words, just kind of makes you feel bad. And God said that's exactly how these self-righteous people make me feel. These people who think they're holier than everybody else. God says they're like a smoke in my nose. They're like a fire that burns all day long. In other words, the Lord Jesus here in this Sermon on the Mount was simply making a point that when we judge men, when we judge men, here's the point of the whole thing Jesus said. When we judge men, we need to make sure there is nothing in our spiritual eye that would hinder us from seeing things properly according to the Word of God. He's not telling us not to judge. He's just telling us to be careful how we judge. Because the way we judge others, that's how He's going to judge us. Remember, you do reap what you sow, right? We do reap what we sow. And so the Bible does not teach anywhere that we are not to judge. Rather, it's God's desire. It's God's desire that we should be like that group of believers we find in the book of Acts. In fact, they're presented to us. They're presented to us as an example that we ought to follow. And of course, I'm talking about that group of believers who were known as the Bereans. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, the Bible says concerning those Bereans, Christians, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word of God, the Word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. In other words, everything that the preacher said, they received it with an open mind. Not only did they receive it with an open mind, but if you check the original Greek there, it carries the idea. They even filled in the blanks on the study sheet. I'm just kidding. That's not in there. But they listened and they carefully heard what was being preached, but it didn't stop there. They then went home. And you know what they did? They judged. Right? They judged. In other words, they judged what they had heard by opening up the Word of God to see if what they heard was really true. They judged. They judged. And that is exactly what we ought to do as well. That's exactly what we ought to do. And so please understand, when we come to this text here in James chapter 4, James is not saying that we should not judge. That's not what he's teaching at all. That's not what he's teaching at all. Rather, let's notice number 2, what it does teach. What it does teach. James chapter 4 and verse number 11, speak not evil of one another, brethren. Again, James is not contradicting the commands to judge that are found in many other verses of Scripture. He's not contradicting that. He's not canceling all of that out. Rather, he's actually dealing with a totally different subject. He's dealing with a totally different subject. You see, the evil speaking that James here is talking about is not just judging people, but it is actually the idea of backbiting and fault finding that was becoming prevalent. In other words, James is talking about those people who in their self-righteousness, they never find any good in anybody else. They never find any good in anyone. In fact, no matter what they say, no matter what they may do, they're always in the attack mode, tearing down, criticizing, trying to undermine the other person. That's what James is talking about. In other words, he's talking of those who are always negative in their opinions of others. Now, my wife accuses me, and I'm guilty most of the time, that whenever she will ask me a question, almost my immediate automatic response is, no. Are you men like that? Come on, guys, help me out. Say yes, even if it's not so. Negative attitude, see? Oh, automatic. Well, no, we can't do that. No, that's not possible. We can't do that. And there are some people that when dealing with other people, they always have a negative opinion. It's always an opinion that nobody, in their mind, nobody is as spiritual or as holy as they are. And that kind of evil speaking, now listen carefully, that kind of evil speaking comes from a fact that they are judgmental. Not the way the Bible commands us to be, but they're just judgmental. Because they judge men not by the truth of God's Word, they judge men by their own standard or by their own preference, you see. And this can be seen basically in the way they do two things. People who are involved in this, people who are involved in this evil speaking, the first thing you will find that they will do is you will find that they are judging motives. They are judging motives. For example, let's say that two brothers from our church go out together to eat. They're over here at the fork and the spoon. And they go out to eat there. And so while they're sitting there, one of them reaches in his pocket some of the gospel tracts that we have here, which, by the way, we would encourage you to take after the service and during the week, pass them out in the various places you go. But let's suppose one of those brothers takes out a gospel tract and begins chance to give it to some people who are sitting at the table next to them. And the other brother is sitting there watching that, and he begins to say in his heart, well, old brother so-and-so, he is just showing off. He's just showing off. He doesn't really love the Lord that much. I know him. He doesn't really love the Lord that much. He's just showing off. He's trying to impress people by acting like he is super spiritual. Now let me tell you why that's evil speaking. That's evil speaking simply because of the fact you don't know what is in that person's heart. You may be right. Then again, you may be dead wrong. The fact of the matter is, absolutely nobody knows what is in the heart of a man except that man and God. You don't know. I don't know. None of us has any right to judge the motive of somebody else because we don't know. There's no way we can know because none of us are omniscient. None of us are all-knowing. That attribute belongs to God. That attribute belongs to God. But when somebody gets caught up in this evil speaking, invariably it's going to reveal itself because they will begin to judge motives. Not only will they begin to judge motives, they'll also begin judging actions. And when I say judging actions, I'm talking about actions that are not covered in Scripture. Now, there are some actions that are covered in Scripture. We can judge very clearly. When a man is stealing, we know that's wrong because the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. When a man is teaching false doctrine, we can judge that action because the Bible shows us what is true doctrine, and by comparing Scripture with Scripture, we can know this fellow's not telling the truth, and he's teaching something that is false. But there are many areas in our life that we would call gray areas. There are many areas in life where, to be very honest, the Word of God is silent. And I have learned by experience, and I've also been instructed that it's always wise, if the Bible is silent about something, it's a good idea if I keep my mouth shut too. But there are some people who begin to judge actions. They begin to judge in those areas. For example, the Apostle Paul talked about some people in Romans chapter 14. He talked about some believers who believed you could eat anything. Prawns and catfish and crabs and all that good food that will be on the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's all going to be there. And there were people who believed you could eat that, but there were other believers who said, oh, no, 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 no. No, we can't eat that. We can only eat that stuff that is kosher. All right? We only eat that stuff that is according to the law. We don't eat anything else. There's some believers. Romans 14 again. There were some believers who believed you ought to honor a special day. Some believers, they say, oh, we got a special day here. Gotta honor Grandmother Day and gotta honor Children's Day. And I'm not against those things. Please don't misunderstand. But there were some who said, we gotta honor this day. And there were other people who said, no, we don't have to honor any day. All days are the same. How are we going to deal with that? Should we judge them? Should we judge them who say, well, I can't eat this because I just don't believe it's right. I don't believe it's right. Even though the Bible says that all things are made to be received with thanksgiving, I just don't think I should eat that, and so I'm going to abstain from it. Should we sit in judgment and somehow think that we are more spiritual than they are? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's why Paul said there in Romans 14, let every man be persuaded in his own mind. In his own mind. There's no biblical proof for what they're believing or what they're wanting to do. Just that's their preference. Should we judge them for that? No. That enters into that area that we call Christian liberty. The area that we call Christian liberty. Every man is free to walk according to the way they believe the Holy Spirit of God is leading and directing in their life. I have no right to judge them as long as what they are doing is not absolutely, clearly contrary to what the Bible says. I have no right to judge. I have no right to judge their motives. I have no right to judge their actions. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he asked a very pointed question. In Romans chapter 14, that same chapter where he talks about people who think you ought not to eat certain things and others say you can eat anything, and those who said you ought to honor a certain day and other people said, well, that's dumb, all days are the same. And in that same chapter, notice what he said. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Bottom line, suppose you have someone working in your home. You have a domestic helper. You have someone working in your home and you are very happy with them. You are very pleased with the way that they serve, the way that they clean your place, the way that they prepare your food. You're very pleased with them. You're very happy with them. Who am I to come in and say, you know, you got the sorriest helper I ever saw? I wouldn't have that helper for nothing. Well, guess what? I don't have that helper. It's none of my business. Who am I to judge somebody else's servant, right? And the same thing is true spiritually. That's why in verse number 10, Paul said this, why dost thou judge thy brother? Why do you judge your brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Here's the key. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the kind of evil speaking James is talking about. The kind where we begin to speak and judge people by their motives. We begin to judge people by the actions that they have liberty in Christ to follow. That's the kind of evil speaking that James is dealing with. And now he's going to show us something else. Notice number 3. He's going to show us why this kind of evil speaking is so dangerous. Notice number 3, what the text warns of. What he is going to warn us about. Verse 11, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, notice it, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. James tells us that those who speak evil and those who judge others in a way that violates the Word of God are actually speaking evil of, and they are actually sitting in judgment on the law. In other words, they are exalting themselves above the Word of God. They are exalting themselves. They are setting themselves up above the law of God. But not only does this man seek to put himself above the law of God, he also seeks to put himself above God. And that's the danger of playing God. That's the danger of it. Notice it in verse number 12. The Bible says very clearly, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. I want you to notice a couple of things that we see here. First of all, there is one lawgiver. There is one lawgiver, and that is God. But there are some who will come along and they will try to set their standards. They will try to set their laws, their rules, their preferences, their opinions. They try to set that over others. And since their laws and their standards and their opinions in their own minds have more authority, it has more weight than the Word of God, then we have to understand that all of their that they are doing is actually according to the wisdom of the world and not according to the wisdom of God. And yet they make their own laws, and they make their own standards, and they make their own preferences to be the basis of spirituality. Now I realize I'm talking about something that is inherently dangerous. Inherently dangerous more so for a preacher than for anybody else. Because you see, the preacher has the pulpit. The preacher is able to stand up and say, this is what God says. Well, I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Whatever you hear me say, this is what God says, would you please do me a favor? Don't believe it until you check it out and see if that's really what God says. But you see, there are many pastors because they have the, as they used to say in American politics years ago, they have the bully pulpit. And they literally bully people around. And they tell them, this is what you have to do, this is the way you have to live. And instead of shepherds of the sheep, they become dictators over the flock. And they command that everybody follow their preference and their ideas of what is spiritual and what is right and what is holy. I just want to tell you, that's wrong. I don't care what preacher does it, it's still wrong. I don't care what his motive may be for doing it. It's still wrong. Because there's only one lawgiver. And that's not the preacher. There's only one lawgiver, and that's God. That's God. Not only is there only one lawgiver, there's only one judge. There's only one judge. In John chapter 5, verse 22, the Lord Jesus said this. He said, for the Father judgeth no man. Did you get that? God the Father is not your judge. He's not your judge. The Father judgeth no man, but here's what He's done. He has committed all judgment to the Son. To the Son. In other words, God the Father has given the authority to judge to the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore He Himself judges no man. Now that raises a question. What makes us think that we have a right to enter into an area that even God the Father will not enter because He has given that authority to someone else? What right do we have to sit in judgment on someone's motives or on someone's actions that are not clearly covered in the Word of God? What right do we have to enter into a work that even God Himself will not enter into because He has committed all of that to the Lord Jesus Christ? We put ourselves in a very dangerous position. And that's why James asked the question, who art thou? Who art thou? Our modern way of saying it would be like this. Just exactly who do you think you are? Okay? Just who do you think you are that judgest another? When we try to play God in the lives of other people, we put ourselves in a very dangerous position because we are acting like the lawgiver and we're acting like the judge. Because God never allows a man to escape, we're in a dangerous position. God never allows a man to escape who seeks to promote himself into a position that belongs to deity. God won't let you get away with that. He won't let you get away with it. Now remember the theme of the book. The theme of the book is spiritual maturity. And those who are spiritually mature, those who are spiritually mature will realize God deals with people in different ways. God deals with people in different ways. We're all different. And all of us are expected to live according to the Bible. But when it comes to the gray areas of life, every one of us are responsible to be following the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's our responsibility. Each and every one of you. As a Christian, that's your responsibility. To be following the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so the spiritually mature Christian will not be caught up in speaking evil against other Christians, trying to judge their motives and trying to judge all their actions and criticizing and finding fault. Rather, may God help us to learn what James is showing us here, that we must not overstep our authority by trying to be God in the life of somebody else. It's a dangerous thing. A dangerous thing. And so may God help us. May God help us to understand that. On the other side, may God also help us not to be seeking to please men by always trying to live according to the expectations of others that have no ground in the Word of God. May God help us to understand. And so may our first priority in life be that we will always and in everything please God by turning from our sin and trusting in His Son to be our Savior, and by being filled with His Holy Spirit and walking in obedience to His Word in every area of our life. In other words, let's let God be God. And let's simply serve Him as He has commanded us to do.